Good morning and welcome to our service this morning. We very much hope that this will be the last of our online services on YouTube. From next week, we'll be back in the church building. And if you're unable to get to church, you'll be able to join us online live on Zoom. It won't be the same though, so I do encourage you to come to church if you can. If you want any details about our plans for reopening and what we're doing to remain COVID safe, or indeed need help getting onto Zoom, please do contact me. My email address is minister@langdonbaptistchurch.org. So, as we come today in worship, we can praise God for being with us over the past 15 months and look forward with anticipation to the joy of being together again. Let's pray. Lord God, we do indeed praise and thank you for your presence with us during these difficult times. Thank you for the technology which has enabled us to keep in touch and for bringing us through. Some of us battered and scarred, but still standing and still worshipping. We pray for the coming week as plans are made and decisions are taken. May this all be done with your wisdom and guidance, that we might keep one another safe and grow in our work and worship in this place. Bless this service today. Speak to our hearts and accept our prayerful and praiseful response in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Paul Fiddes, an old principal of my college, wrote this. The one feeling which matters in worship is God's feeling towards us, which is of steadfast love, regardless of our emotional or spiritual state. And God, being sovereign, can receive and make use of whatever is offered to him. A helpful reminder as we praise God today that it's not about us. It's not about our feeling thankful or loving or clean or worthy. If we don't feel any of that, it doesn't make our worship worth any less. If we do feel all of that, it doesn't make our worship worth more. The worth of what we're doing is purely because God loves us. He loves to have us come to him just as we are, full of hope and joy, or disheartened and low. We offer ourselves to God, and he himself will bless that offering. So, Psalm 150 says this. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and the lyre. Praise him with tambourine and dancing. Praise him with the strings and pipe. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So let us come and sing his praises with a couple of choruses. First, praise him on the trumpet, and then our children's favourite, If I Were a Butterfly.
Praise him on the timbrel and the dance. Praise him with stringed instruments too. Praise him on the loud cymbals. Praise him on the loud cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Hallelujah, praise the Lord.
Praise him on the trumpet, the psaltery and harp.
let everything that has breath praise the and you made me your child, and I just thank you, Father, for making me me. If I were a weakly worm, I'd thank you, Lord, that I could swim. And if I were a billy goat, I'd thank you, Lord, for my strong throat. And if I were a fuzzy wuzzy bear, but I just thank you, Father, for making me me. For you gave me a heart and you gave me a smile. You gave me Jesus and you made me your child. And I just thank you, Father, for making me me. For you gave me a heart and you gave me a smile.
We're going to start our scripture readings this morning where Rini left off a couple of weeks ago. The decree to rebuild the temple. And this is from Ezra 1, verses 2 to 4.
This is what Cyrus, king of Persia, says. The Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has appointed me to build a temple for him at Jerusalem in Judah. Any one of his people among you, may his God be with him and let him go up to Jerusalem in Judah and build the temple of the Lord, the God of Israel, the God who is in Jerusalem. And the people of any place where survivors may now be living are to provide him with silver and gold, with goods and livestock, and with freewill offerings for the temple of God in Jerusalem.
And we move on to Ezra 3, verses 1 to 6 and 10 to 13.
When the seventh month came and the Israelites had settled in their towns, the people assembled together as one in Jerusalem. Then Joshua, son of Jozadak, and his fellow priests, and Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, and his associates began to build the altar of the God of Israel to sacrifice burnt offerings on it, in accordance with what is written in the law of Moses, the man of God. Despite their fear of the peoples around them, they built the altar on its foundation and sacrificed burnt offerings on it to the Lord, both the morning and the evening sacrifices. On the first day of the seventh month, they began to offer burnt offerings to the Lord, though the foundation of the Lord's temple had not yet been laid. When the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests in their vestments and with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals, took their places to praise the Lord, as prescribed by David, king of Israel. With praise and thanksgiving, they sang to the Lord. He is good. His love towards Israel endures forever. And all the people gave a great shout of praise to the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the older priests and Levites and family heads who had seen the former temple wept aloud when they saw the foundation of this temple being laid, while many others shouted for joy. No one could distinguish the sound of the shouts of joy from the shouts of weeping, because the people made so much noise and the sound was heard far away.
The people made offerings to the Lord and sang with praise and thanksgiving. So let us do the same as we sing again. Praise my soul, the King of Heaven.
Praise my soul, the King. To his feet thy tribute bring, ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven, who like me his praise should sing.
Is a continuation of Judah's story from 2 Chronicles. I threw a spanner in the works by sticking Shelley's sermon on Esther in the middle to accommodate my holiday, but please forgive me and try and think back a couple of weeks to Rini's sermon. We finished 2 Chronicles with the decree of Cyrus to return to Jerusalem. And we move on to Ezra. Ezra is actually half a book. The books of Ezra and Nehemiah were originally one. Together they tell the story of governmental decrees allowing a return from exile, the restoration of worship, the rebuilding of the temple and the rebuilding of Jerusalem. Ezra himself only comes in towards the end of this book as a teacher of the law after the temple has been built. The Persian king, who, by the way, is a successor to Esther's husband, wants to make sure that he's staying on the right side of the Jewish God. The two books of Ezra and Nehemiah have slightly different perspectives on the return from exile. Ezra, the priest concerned with God, the temple, the law. Nehemiah, some kind of minor court official or politician, concerned with the physical infrastructure of Jerusalem. And we'll come to him next week. It's significant then that Ezra comes first. We read in Ezra 3 verse 6, on the first day of the seventh month, they began to offer burnt offerings to the Lord, though the foundation of the Lord's temple had not yet been laid. Worship came before building. And if we've learned anything over the last year, it's the truth of that, isn't it? We can worship without the building. We can praise without a place. Of course, it's better when the building's there and the temple is eventually built. But worship came first. And Ezra the priest comes before Nehemiah the builder. Even once the temple is there, the concern is for listening and obedience to God and worship before Nehemiah appears to rebuild the city. But again, I'm getting ahead of myself. The people worshipped God. The altar, the sacrifices, the offerings, all without the comfort or the magnificence of a building to house them. Rini pointed out a couple of weeks ago that the temple was a place for meeting with God, for repentance, for offerings. She reminded us that we find those things in Christ. But even back then, it turns out they didn't need the building, just the altar. They could do all these things without the physical structure. But they wanted the building just as much as we do today. And so they laid the foundations. Our reading says there was great joy. All the people gave a great shout of praise to the Lord because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. As we head to the long-awaited return to physical meeting in a purpose-built structure, are we full of that joy and praise? Although we've been able to continue in worship, we've lived the last year of church life in anticipation of this moment. And in some sense, this week is like laying a foundation for the return to worship in the building. Some of us, as we've spoken over the last week or so, have been excitedly looking forward to things like preaching to a live church and not having to pre-record songs and edit videos. We look forward to meeting together again, to have a physical presence in this place. And that's great. I don't want to burst that bubble, but I do need to go on in the story. Many of the older priests and Levites and family heads who had seen the former temple wept aloud when they saw the foundation of this temple being laid, while many others shouted for joy. This joyful occasion, the beginning of the long-awaited return to temple worship, was for some a source of distress. They remembered, or thought they remembered, what it had been like before. The glory days, the wonder and splendour, whether a true recollection or an exaggerated rose-tinted memory of what used to be, wouldn't be matched by this new building. A much more modest structure than Solomon's temple, which had been destroyed 30 years previously. The comparison left some people with a sense not of joy, but of disappointment. I'm sure many of us know that feeling. They must have been looking back and saying things were better then. The sense that change from that old, possibly rose-tinted memory is bound to be a change for the worse rather than one for the better. A desire to go back to the way things were. It's a perfectly natural feeling. Our memories block out the bad and highlight the good, so we truly believe in the good old days. But the problem is, they can't go back. We can't go back. The Jews had neither the resources or the facility to match the splendour of Solomon's original temple. They now lived in occupied territory by government permission, not in their own land by right or military force. Life was different. It wasn't possible for the new temple to be the same. And actually, they'd forgotten the most important thing. Because those days they wanted to go back to, those glory days of the splendid temple, were days of disobedience and sin and rebellion. Sure, they had the ritual and ceremony all sorted, but the hearts of Israel were not right with God. The temple could no longer be glorious. It was just showy. So in comes Ezra, when the new temple has been completed, to teach them again the ways of God, to show them how to live as God's people, regardless of whether their temple is great and splendid or more modest. And it takes me back to my first point, that the important thing has always been the worship and not the building. The important thing is for hearts and lives to be right with God, not flashiness and performance. And he leads the people in a time of repentance. As we look forward to our own return from exile, I wonder how you're feeling. Are you excited to be preparing to come back to a building we've been missing? Are you, like some of those priests and Levites, disappointed or anxious because you realise that actually it will not be the same as it was before? Are you looking back to our own glory days when it was all wonderful? Do you think of church pre-lockdown as the perfect state and just want to get back to it? Well, here is our new foundation. We can't go back. We can't go back because things have changed, like it or not. A level of restrictions may still be in place for some time. People have moved on. Circumstances have changed. And hopefully new people are arriving. The people who are in the church now are not the same people who were in the church 20 years ago or even 2 years ago. Working lives have changed in a way that's been compared in its effects to the Industrial Revolution. Health situations have changed. We've all been through trauma and isolation. We have changed. The needs of the community around us have changed. How can we expect church to be the same? Even once we are able to meet without distancing and sing together and do what we like, it won't be a return to pre-lockdown Laindon Baptist Church. For all the nostalgia, it's impossible to undo all the changes that have happened. But if that thought distresses you, let me ask you, would you want it to be? Really, taking off those rose-tinted glasses, was there nothing at all wrong with church in 2019? Was our worship perfect? No bitterness, no complacency, no anger, no laziness when it came to serving or even attending? Was the whole body working together, each member doing its part? Was the church serving the community and spreading the gospel? Were we seeing people coming to Christ? Was the church growing numerically and spiritually? This is an opportunity. This is our second temple. We're building foundations for the new Laindon Baptist Church. It'll be recognisably similar to the old, but also recognisably different. We've worshipped without a building, without a physical gathering for a long time now. As we begin again to gather, let us be changed, not looking back at the past, but forward to the future. As Rini said, let us build back better, carefully, prayerfully, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. But let us be changed too in repentance. Ezra called out the sin of the people during the exile, calling them to repent and turn back to true and spiritual worship. So let us too repent of those sins of both pre-lockdown church and of our exile too. Think back for a moment over the past year. Have we sinned over this time as individuals and as a church? Have we remained as close to God, as caring of neighbours, as keen to reach out, have we remained as dedicated to the local church? Or have we lost some of that spark? Ezra's contemporaries had slipped into the attitudes and actions of the people around them and needed to turn away from that. Do we need to repent of buying into the culture of consumerism when it comes to church and worship? Shopping around for what suits me, what can I get? Do we need to repent of an attitude of negativity or self-pity? Do we need to repent of apathy towards our fellow humans, a failure to care and to pray? In the silence now, let us turn to God. He's never needed a physical building for us to meet with him in worship and repentance. Together we are the body of Christ, who is the place and source and giver of forgiveness. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit, the meeting place with the God who transforms our lives as we repent and makes us into the people he wants us to be. Let us hand over to him our own sins and ask his forgiveness, which he freely offers through Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, we have repented as individuals of those sins which separate us from you. But we come to as a church which has not been all it could be, either during lockdown or before. A church which is broken and sinful, just as we, its members, are broken and sinful. We have sinned against you as a group in our thinking and our actions, but also in what we have left undone. We repent of these things and turn back to you. May our new foundation be a transformed foundation. Our new life together be a transformed life. Our relationship with you be a transformed relationship by the blood of Jesus. Amen. As we come then with pure hearts and cleansed lives, we are able to offer to God our true worship, building or no building. So we sing, I will offer up my life.
Spirit and truth, pouring out the oil of love as my worship to you. In surrender I must give my every part, Lord, receive the sacrifice of a broken heart. Jesus, what can I give, what can I bring, to so faithful a friend, to so loving a king? Saviour, what can be said, what can be sung, as the praise of your name, all the things you have done? All my words could not tell, not even in part, of the debt of love that is owed by this thankful heart.
Reserve my own breath, for you paid the great cost, giving up your life to death, even death on a cross. You took all my shame away, there defeated my sin, opened up the gates of heaven and have beckoned me in. Jesus, what can I give, what can I bring, to so faithful a friend, to so loving a king? Saviour, what can be said, what can be sung, as a praise of your name, all the things you have done? All my words could not tell, not even in part, of the debt of love that is owed by this thankful heart.
Thy
sung as a praise of your name for the things you have done. For my words could not tell, not even in part, of the depth of love that is owed by this thankful heart.
The Jews may have found their ultimate meeting place with God in sacrifices on the altar, in the temple. And we too find it at a table. We too find it in broken flesh and spilt blood, not our own and not at our hands. We find it as we remember, in actions as well as words, the death of Jesus on the cross. Lord, gather us in, the lost and the lonely, the broken and breaking, the tired and the aching, who long for the nourishment found at your feast. Gather us in, the done and the doubting, the wishing and wondering, the puzzled and pondering, who long for the company found at your feast. Gather us in, the proud and pretentious, the sure and superior, the never inferior, who long for the levelling found at your feast. Gather us in, the bright and the bustling, the stirrers, the shakers, the kind laughter makers, who long for the deeper joys found at your feast. Gather us in, from corner or limelight, from mansion or campsite, from fears and obsession, from tears and depression, from untold excesses, from treasured successes, to meet, to eat, to be given a seat, to be joined to the vine, be offered new wine, become like the least, be found at the feast. Gather us in. This is the meal not of the church, but of the Lord. It is to be made ready for those who love him and who want to love him more. So come, if you have much faith or if you have little, if you have been here often or if you have not been for a long time, if you have tried to follow or if you have failed. Come, not because it is I who invite you, it is our Lord. It is his will that those who want him should meet him here. And remember what I told you in the beginning, that the one feeling that matters in worship is God's feeling of love towards us. On the night on which Jesus was betrayed, he sat at the supper with his disciples. While they were eating, he took a piece of bread and said a blessing and broke it and gave it to them with the words, "This is my body, it is for you. Do this to remember me." Later, he took a cup of wine, saying, "This cup is God's new covenant sealed in my blood. Drink from it, all of you, to remember me." So now, following Jesus' command, we take this bread and this wine, the ordinary things of the world which Christ will make special. And as he said a prayer before sharing, let us do so too. Gratitude, praise, hearts lifted high, voices full and joyful, these you deserve. For when we were nothing, you made us something. When we had no name and no faith and no future, you called us your children. When we lost our way or turned away, you did not abandon us. When we came back to you, you opened your arms wide in welcome. And you prepare a table for us, offering not just bread or wine, but your very self, so that we may be filled, forgiven, healed, blessed, and made new again. You are worth all our pain and all our praise. So now, in gratitude, may we join our voices to those of the church on earth and in heaven, saying, "Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Lord God, as we come to share the richness of your table, we cannot forget the rawness of the earth. We cannot be thankful for the life you give us and forget those who are sick or grieving. We are called to bear one another's burdens. Lord, we lift them to you and ask for your comfort and healing. Show us how to be your hands and feet to them. We cannot take the bread and forget those who are hungry. Your world is one world and we are stewards of its nourishment. Lord, put our prosperity at the service of the poor. We cannot take the wine and forget those who are thirsty. The ground and the rootless, the earth and its weary people cry out for justice. Lord, put our fullness at the service of the empty. We cannot hear your words of peace and forget the world at war. Or if not at war, then preparing for it. Show us quickly, Lord, how to turn weapons into welcome signs and the lust for power into a desire for peace. We cannot celebrate the feast of your family and forget our divisions. We are one in spirit, but not in fact. History and hurt still dismember us. Lord, heal our church in every brokenness. Amen. Jesus comes to us in bread and wine, the gifts of God for the people of God. Among friends gathered around a table, Jesus took bread, broke it and said, "This is my body, it is for you. As you take your bread and break it, remember the brokenness of Jesus which makes us whole, and eat with thanksgiving." Later he took the cup of wine and said, "This is the new relationship with God made possible because of my death. Take this, all of you, to remember me. As we drink together, remember the promises of God sealed in Jesus' blood and let your hearts rejoice." Lord Jesus Christ, you have put your life into our hands, and now we put our lives into yours. Take us, renew and remake us. What we have been is past. What we shall be through you still awaits us. Lead us on. Take us with you. Amen. Let us close our time together in a final hymn of worship and praise. O Lord my God, how great thou art.
my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hand hath made. I see the stars, I hear the mighty thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When through the woods and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees, when I look down from lofty mountain grandeur, and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze,
then sings my soul,
I Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God his Son not sparing sent him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross my burden gladly bearing he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then shall I bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
In worship and repentance we have joined together in song, word and prayer, and in the table of the Lord. Now restored, renewed and refreshed, may we go into the world to serve him as the time for building approaches. Go now, and as you go, know this. In grace you were created. In mercy you have been sustained. In love you will be held forever. Let us share the grace together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. God bless you all.